So this is a fizzy cola string.
I love them, but you know what's weird? I bought a little bowl of pick and mix as well.
Oh, what have you got?
Just little bits of pick and mix. I've got like, you know, the Haribo things and whatever. Yeah.
Do you know what? Sorry, it's going to sound like an ASMR video.
You know what? Hey, you know when teachers would teach, obviously, and they'd
Like
be like,
something in the mouth.
yeah, like a lunch club or something. I'd be eating their lunch. Right. What you want to do is you want to... Give food and answer me, you stupid bitch.
That's so strange that we all went through that together, but no one speaks about it.
Yeah, it's weird.
No one.
Right, what you want to do is it. It's the way they swallow
it's
as well. Like
it's
they're
like a
like
curve, real energy.
Yes. Oh
right,
God, it's so
other...
weird how we all spot the same thing,
but no one talks about it.
Oh, no. Until now, this is the podcast.
Sorry. I'm just finishing up what I'm eating. Do you know, I'm not really a sweet person, but yesterday I went to Morrison's and I thought, I really fancy something like
you know
jelly
what?
And gummy.
I don't know what it is. Neither am I, but the last week or so, I've loved a little jelly sweet. What's going on?
And it's the cheaper ones as well, not the brands.
Oh, the best. I'll tell you who are good. Come up. Good.
Little Aldi. You just
really?
Know it's nothing but e-numbers. That's kind of what you want.
That's fabulous.
Hang on.
What's your favourite, like, sweet? Because I do love
milk
those
bottles.
cables. Nah. No, nothing to them, darling.
No, but the Bassett's ones are, and they've got that dusting of...
Bassett's? As in, like,
the ones
bath
that do...
bombs?
The li- no, the ones that do licorice. You know, Bassett's.
Oh. Oh, Bassett. I thought you said bath sets.
Oh.
I was like, hold on a second.
Right, we're getting too sweet, but we need to get a bit salty and address the saltiness of Leighton
We need to get
Viacom
salty
soup.
And sour. Honest,
oh.
That late in life.
Let's
roll
the
titles.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris, a Gaydio original podcast.
Well, welcome to another week of Fancy Another Pod. Do you know what? We've been doing this for about 12, 13 episodes now.
I'm not going to say 12 weeks. Actually, it has been about that much.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah, great. Yeah. You know what? I thought of today, sorry to go off tangent, it's only been 1 month since the Gaydio Pride Awards with Hilton for the stay.
What a night, the Gaydio Pride Awards.
I can't
Hilton.
Believe it's only been a month. It feels like years ago. Wild.
And then in no time at all as well, in the next breath. Me
I
and
think
you.
We've spoken to each other every single day since. I don't think there's been a day that's gone past where I haven't seen your face on a Zoom.
Do you know what? It's something about the Gaydio Pride Awards with Hilton for the stay that just, something changes. Something changes in the air. I can feel it.
I feel the connection to Paris Hilton. I do.
I thought you could say Paris Monroe off Gaydio Breakfast. I thought, slightly odd.
He wishes, darling. Okay, let's get back into Big Brother.
Yes, Big Brother.
Double of Ix.
Double of Icky. Do you know what I really find funny is that we obviously deal quite a lot with the PR team for Big Brother and Banner J and ITV. And I've long time called it like an Avicii. Oh, it's an Avicii tonight. And then when we were speaking to them, we got an invite from Jay. Oh, you'll have to come down to an Avicii. And I thought, that's their internal like little name. I'm on the same wavelength. We need to make...
Look,
come
I love
on.
It. Noms, Avicii.
I love a
we're
surprise
part of the
nomination.
Team at this point.
Or like when something kicks off in nominations, it's called like a nom bomb, isn't it?
Oh, really?
Well, I remember
you know what
that
I hate?
Like Channel 5 terminology, maybe.
I'll tell you what I hate. We don't say Channel 5 around these parts, by the way. I hate when people say, oh, you're up for nomination. You're not up for nomination. You're up for eviction. It's been 20 fucking years. I'm sorry. I just can't do this anymore.
No. I
do. If I was Big
saying.
Brother, I'd say that over the tannoy. I'd be like, you're not up for fucking nomination. This is Big Brother. You're up for eviction. Get it right.
So we obviously had the double eviction, and we'll get into all of that. But let's talk about the coverage of the episode, because I think it was another insightful episode. I think after the drama of Thursday, it was quite nice to maybe have a little bit of resetting, settling.
Yeah.
And we saw people take to the shed for shed talks in Big Brother Garden.
I'm not going to lie. Big Brother, I'm a bit pissed off. You know, like in Drag Race, how they get like, if it's a Strictly challenge, they'll get the Strictly pros in. And if it's a comedy challenge, they'll get Alan Carr wheeled in for the third time. I'm sorry, they could have wheeled us in for the podcast challenge.
They could have.
Task.
I love how you're like basically making us like we just sat there on a shelf in Big Brother HQ. And just yeah. All night.
Look, they could have invited us, sent some cars to pick us up. I could do with the bougie day at the expense of Big Brother.
Yeah,
come
I
on.
Agree. I agree. I have, look, you know I'm a cynic. And I've, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Big Brother and ITV are mulling over a potential Big Brother podcast. We've had this twice now since the series has relaunched, one in the civilian, one in the celebrity. Are they trying to figure out some characters that will be associated with ITV's version of Big Brother to launch a Big Brother pod?
It's if it goes to that guy from Rizzle Kicks and someone else, I'm going to be... I have not sat here 1 hour a day for the last 2 weeks to have a Big Brother podcast given to someone else. Look,
well,
give it me.
I had a message off the Big Boss of Gadio saying, after watching the podcast episode, maybe we should get Bradley and David on Gadio.
Excuse me, darling. What?
I know. But to be fair, they're really good. You know, it's just, you
no,
know.
You know what? Let's, all jokes aside, I really liked this episode, the podcast episode, because obviously Coulson does a podcast anyway with his Calvary pals. Coleslaw, sorry. and ZZ does like podcasting in YouTube. So yeah, they're very much in their presenter bag. So they were both the right people to kind of lead on this. Mm-hmm. And I think Nikita, David, and Bradley all kind of like that, you know, kind of like podcasty and presenting kind of mode. I knew they were going to be great. But the conversations were really great as well.
No, it was really nice to see. And it was quite refreshing watching Cole's... who is it? Colgate?
COVID.
COVID. Nikita, Louis Walsh, and Levi discussing national service. And I thought this was really interesting seeing the different points of view and the Gen Z versus maybe like the boomer idea.
Yeah.
For me, it's quite funny seeing people like Louis Walsh, who has been so representative of the pop industry and celeb culture.
Quite camp. Quite camp.
I would say, you know, I mean, you'd have to be involved with the X Factor. almost siding on the more conservative side of things of national services, being proud, that kind of thing. Versus, you know, hearing Nikita's story about, which I also...
Actual, like, lived experience. Yeah.
Coming from a country
what
with
I think with
service.
What I liked about that was, like, Louis obviously come from a background of being, like, I think you mentioned he was in boarding school and a really religious background and upbringing. Yeah. So he's kind of always going to have that conservative feel and kind of mindset. So it was nice for them to actually have a discussion and not argue.
Yeah.
And I think that's what is so different. Like, you know, when people discuss things on social media and it always comes across as like an argument, and it's like, relax. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to see these conversations actually happen with people with actual lived experience, with people who have come from that kind of mindset and upbringing, and just fully just having a proper normal conversation without any like, no, cancel culture. It's quite refreshing.
Well, and speaking of that, and we obviously mentioned, well, you've just mentioned cancel culture there. I feel like Louis thought quite a lot of the series is kind of hinged around the edges of, I don't care about cancel culture, woke words, words that we probably associate with a negative meaning. But what I've noticed in probably the last sort of 3 or 4 days with Louis is, rather than him having conversations with people where he just seems to walk up to people and dictate this is how things are and not really listening, it's actually quite refreshing to see Louis engage in in a conversation where he's actually being an active listener rather than just entering a conversation with what he wants to say in his mind. Does that make sense?
I think, yeah, definitely. I think as well with Louis, I think if you watch the first few episodes back and then compared to maybe towards the end of his time in the house, he has changed, like, whether people want to admit it or not. Like, yeah, he's still got his ways and, like, silly little kind of, we'll call it lazy.
Louisisms.
Louisisms. But I think his attitude to a lot of people have changed, especially Zizi. I think he was very ignorant going in the house. Like, if I don't know you, you're not important. And Zizi made a really good point. I think it was on last night's episode or the episode before where she said, you lot won't know me because you're, like, white people and you're old. Like, the black culture and black community know me, mm-hmm. and kind of made a point of saying we only represent 3% of the population in the UK. And Louis seems shocked. It's like, see, you don't know everything.
I'm going to be honest. That became a real talking point in our house. I was stunned because I feel like I like to hang around with like such a diverse group of people that hearing that stat is like,
I think it's because we kind of associate ourselves with like a lot of like our community. Don't forget, like, trans people are only 1.something% of the population in the UK. I think South Asians are less than 3%. I think it's because we see people every day, and we're very lucky to live in cities like Manchester, Birmingham, Wolverhampton, who are very multicultural. But there are like pockets of areas in the Wolverhampton who have never seen a black person before. I remember some people at my uni didn't know the difference between an Asian person and a black person. It was shocking, but this is why shows like Big Brother are important, because you're meeting people that you would never see and you're learning stories about people's lives and backgrounds, which you'll never, ever experience. I think Louis has lived a life of like privilege and not to like his own, like it's not his fault. It's just the career he's fallen in. And he's always been used to having his own way.
Well, it's interesting.
And I think people
you say call that.
Him...
I almost feel like he's built that life for himself, because I think he's kind of touched on like his upbringing and having quite a strict upbringing and stuff. So I think there's flickers of him not always having that privilege. And I wonder whether or not he's just grafted and ascertained that privilege, that any flickers of losing that kind of control is probably why we see him so like, no, that's my bed, or... It's interesting. I'm probably being too much of a psychologist about it now.
Look, no, I really want Louis to go on a journey and maybe after the show kind of continue his learning and go to places where he'd never thought of going. And maybe have a bit of therapy that we can kind of get in on and watch, because I think he's got loads to unpick. And
he's
like,
been on one hell
view.
Of a journey if he's ended up twerking at the end of the dining room table. Let's put
there you go. No, but genuinely, like, I think I think he's a lovely person. I just think he has a one line viewpoint on a lot of things. And I think he's ready to learn and open up and discuss things. He's just never been around those people.
I also think as well, nominations, especially face to face, have shocked Louis, because I think Louis is quite, I mean, we've seen him talking about people behind backs, and that's probably how he operates at a base level. I think the first time that he got booed was probably a real shock to him, because I think he's so used to being like a panto villain, being like booed for your character. And then every single person has nominating you. You know, they're all in there
and
for
then everyone out there paying
he might be getting paid more than other people, but ultimately they're all in there for a paycheck. I don't buy this nonsense that I just want an experience. You know, they're all in there for whatever reason they're in there for. And
I think the younger housemates aren't going to be there for just the paycheck. I think they're on there to elevate their career. Ekinsu, Bradley, David. But I think the older housemates like Fern, Louis, Sharon, they were in there for the paycheck. They're not elevating their career. They've done their careers kind of. They don't really want to go anywhere else unless they've got a book to shift or something like that. And I think for Louis, he was there for the paycheck. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's ready to kind of become a manager or anything again. But I think for him, he's probably like, damn, like, I mean, hold on, I'm waiting here. People love me.
I mean, I know we're speaking a lot about Louis Walsh, but the big shock for me was him revealing that he had cancer during COVID and lockdown. The struggles that he had there, it's like and for someone that's coming with such a steely exterior and I don't want to say aggressive, because I don't think that's the right word, someone that's coming with quite a front and it's quite abrupt maybe you know, to see that, to peel that back a little bit, was quite revealing.
I think what was more revealing was that he didn't even know the words to flying without wings. Shocked, saddened, no, disgusted.
He only knows the words to the songs that are on the whole call to the bank.
Oh, you know what? I really do hope that we get to have Louis on the pod because I think we'll have a really good chat and I really want to delve deeper into the mind of Louis Walsh.
Yeah, don't we all? Doesn't a psychiatrist, I bet they're rubbing their hands together. They've earned 5 million from Jagwood. Let's move on slightly to that group with Ekin-Su and Levi. And of course, Ekin-Su and Levi left. But before we get into the whole eviction drama, because there's loads of stuff that will come with that, we did see Levi touch upon the fact that he thought there was a bit of ageism in the Big Brother house. And that was targeted maybe towards like Sharon, to Fern, to Louis. Do you buy that? Do you think that is something that happens in the Big Brother house? What are your thoughts?
From a viewer perspective, I don't think so, but we can't speak on what goes on in the house because we only see a certain amount of time. But
Look, Philip, you only see 43 minutes a day when you want to shrink out for adverts.
It's true though, but looking at this house, it's very clear that you've got your Heartstopper gang, we call them that. And then you've got your Zizi and Marisha. And I don't think it's ageism. It's just get involved. You have to get involved. Yeah. Like, Louis got involved with Ekin-Su and chatting to her. I wouldn't call it ageism. I just think it's, you need to be, if you want to be part of it, you need to be involved. No one's going to drag you. No one's going to turf you out. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I agreed. A perfect example of this is Nikita nominating Fern, Bradley looking at David like, Fern, what? And it's all because they've just not spoken as much. But Fern... Yeah. Accepting that graciously in the nominations, and I think has probably made more of an effort with Nikita. So it's quite nice to see, but I feel like Levi, in a sense, doubled down on his comments about Coulson, especially since leaving the house, has confirmed that he was boring, confirming about
I'm sorry, Levi Roos, before we went in, we were quite excited. We were like, yeah, he's going to be brilliant. He was boring. What did you do? What did you do apart from cook some chicken? What? Look, did he even have a best bits? I can't even remember one best bits about him. The most iconic thing he did was call Coulson boring. And that was mean. And if it's calling it, it's ageism. Louis's been ageist to Bradley, David, for telling him to shush. They're young. They want to have fun. Let's flip it, innit? We knew Levi was going. We kind of guessed it.
I am shocked at Ekin-Su going.
I really did think, I thought, because it was a vote to save, and my theory was going to be, because Ekin-Su, Louis, Fern had the last 2 days, 2 episodes, focused a lot on them, I thought not many people have been thinking about David. He's been quite quiet in the edit. We haven't really seen anything. The last time he had a lot of focus was probably the task. And I thought, yeah, no one's going to think of him. No one's going to vote to save him. But I'm so glad he's still in there because I think he deserves to be in the final week.
And I think as we head into the final week, I think it's good that we're moving ahead with the dramatic characters. That's what we need. Yeah. A good, solid week of drama.
But one thing I am grateful for is Ekin-Su leaving. So we got a fabulous moment on Late in Life. But I am gutted that we're not going to see more drama unfold because I think she would have bought it.
I think you'll feel ripples.
I would have loved to have seen it in the house after the boo she heard. I would have loved it.
I think you're going to see the ripples of Ekin-Su for the next couple of days because a lot of the housemates, I think, will now feel more comfortable to talk about Ekin-Su now that she's not there. And my housemate Charlotte made a really interesting point that after the kickoff with Marisha on the day that she'd been nominated for an Olivier Award and then decided just to walk back into the kitchen and sit opposite Marisha, no one was giving Ekin-Su any attention. Now, I think when someone's been that upset and that hurt, as they've been making out by all the people in the world that have done things to her that she can't trust, and then been that upset, every single person in that room had no time for Ekin-Su or wanted to comfort Ekin-Su, which makes me think that there is clearly people don't want to associate with problematic behavior. And I think that's kind of one of the things that might have happened there.
And I do think Fern had Ekin-Su's card marked from day one. I think she's nailed this. I think people like Fern, who have been in this industry for a long while and have met a lot of people. You know how Ekin-Su said, I've met a lot of snakes, a lot of backstabbers. You've not been in this industry long. Like, I don't know why you're going on. Like, you know, like, fair enough, you've been hurt. I can't take that away from you. Like, you know, your life's your life. Your learnings are your learnings. But I think someone like Fern, who has actually seen people who have worked in this industry trying to like snake their way and getting what they want, I think she knew the kind of person Ekin-Su was. Like I said, we've only seen an edited version of Ekin-Su, but the way her behavior was on Late and Live last night, you can't edit that. It was live.
So for me, a couple of bits. She kind of doubled down on her behavior and said that you don't see the full show. And I
how
do think
did
there
she
is
know?
An element
how
of
did
that.
She know how I, did she
exactly.
know
exactly to see that straight away or is almost like, oh my god, I can't believe they're booing me, it must be the edit. So it's like, for me, there's no pause for thought on what have I done here, what has been shown. And and I think that is absolutely what we've seen with Ekin-Su. And you know, this is quite strong, but we're seeing a lot of accusations of narcissism. But that is one clear side of a narcissist, is someone that cannot look at their
own
behavior.
One thing I will stand with Ekin-Su on is a lot of these shows are edited to make an entertainment program. So I do think, going back to the Kissing Booth Challenge, I do think that was edited in a way to make it look more dramatic than it was. Mm-hmm. I've watched it back and I thought, yeah, there was like a little bit with Louis saying, how dare she? I think that was edited. I don't think all that was in real time.
Yeah.
So I do stand with her in the fact that like it was probably down to some editing, but you can't edit what you haven't said. Like everything that came out of her mouth came out of her mouth.
Yeah, agreed.
All the actions she did came from her.
Exactly. And you know, with the Louis nomination, the one thing that I do believe her on is that she said that Louis wanted to go home, which is why I nominated him. I said that then. I don't think she would go that hard on saying that, because we've seen Ekin-Su argue in that house, and like she's never been in a way where she's brought receipts, and like there she did, she was like absolutely adamant. So I do think part of it has been missed out, where she might have just said at the tail end of a nomination, and I also know that you really want to go home, where he might have said fair enough, but we don't know.
But I think with the whole Louis and Ekin-Su relationship, she did hear those boos. She needed to distance herself from him.
Yeah.
We saw that the other day when she was like, go on, go off over there. She wanted to disassociate so badly to the point where she wasn't just nominating him. She needed him to get away from her.
Yeah.
And we knew the minute Sharon left, Louis needed like a crutch. He needed someone.
Yeah.
Lauren had gone. Sharon had gone. Ekin-Su was the only one. And she knew that. And she was like,
she
get
did.
Away.
She was sat there with Levi. Levi absolutely singing her praises. Louis Walsh also doing that, but then she was accepting it from Levi, but because of the toxicity around Louis, stop causing drama. And it's like, hang on, something's not adding up here. They're literally saying the same thing.
And then obviously Late in Life, we need to talk about Late in Life. Late,
or should we call it Leighton Live?
Honestly, so a lot of people on Twitter are calling for Leighton to apologize. They're calling for AJ and Will to be sacked. Darlings, please. AJ and Will were brilliant on Late in Live. I think it was their finest moment.
They are. Right, let's dissect this from the off. AJ and Will, absolutely brilliant last night. On fire this series. I do feel like we're getting a double act forming here. And it's really exciting. Look, their chemistry, brilliant.
I need to congratulate whoever is styling them both. I'm still not over last week's eviction. The black and the diamonds, and then Danny Beard and OT were matching. Oh, stunning. Oh,
what a team.
Scrumptious.
What
Scrumptious.
A team. Do you think you could... I can see AJ and Will doing it this morning. I really like them together. I think they work so well together.
No. I'll tell you what I want them both to do. I'll tell you exactly what I want them both to do.
Well,
bring back the big breakfast. I know AJ did it with Mo the comedian, Mel Gilligan. But AJ and Will would be perfect for something like T4, something like Big Breakfast, something very
T4
Channel 4. Sorry,
ITV. For years. It's...
Bring it back. We need something for the kids. They're all on the TikTok. They're all out there doing vaping. Get them back in. Get them in.
They're
front
not
of
going
C4
on the beach at Western Supermare anymore, darling.
I want a simple life back. Bring it back. ITV, this is your call now. Bring back some teenage TV.
Right. After
Hangover TV on a Saturday, Sunday. Stunning.
Right. Let it go.
Not me, a mid 30-year-old asking for teenage TV. Grow up.
Mid 40. But I'm joking.
Nasty little boy.
So after Ekin Su's interview, which where she doubled down on pretty much everything and stood by everything she said because she couldn't for a second figure out that she might have said something problematic, because how could she? We then moved on to a part of Big Brother's Late and Live where it was Leighton, Ariel on the panel, if you like, joined by Levi and Ekin Su after their eviction. And they were dissecting some of the things that had happened in the house. And it got on to Ekin Su's unravelling on national TV, which Leighton had said a few days before that it's probably not the place to unravel on national TV on the Big Brother.
Big Brother sees it all.
He bloody does. And he turned to Ekin Su and said, look, on the day of Marisha getting an Olivier Award, it probably wasn't appropriate. Ekin Su snapping again about the edit. You only see like 43 minutes. And Leighton's like, babe, what we're not going to do is blame the edit. We're not going to blame the edit. And then there was a really awkward moment where she kind of got a bit feisty with AJ and Will, and it all got a bit awkward. And I thought, one, really rude. They're presenting a live show. Why are you making it really awkward? Secondly...
Well, it was the awkward silences for me where, like, people in the audience were speaking but had no mic in front of them. One of those people being Ekin Su's mom, who went back to night, whatever it was, last week when Sharon left the house. And she was like, well, when Sharon had to nominate three people, why did they only show two names and not the third? Probably thinking the third name would have been Ekin Su because Sharon and Ekin Su were so close.
Yeah.
But darling, it was a live show. They ran out of time. Nothing was edited out. Yeah. Very awkward. Ekin Su was like, mom, just leave it.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Some of the best live tea I've ever seen. It was chaotic.
I might watch it again. I never thought
I might.
I need to watch that section of the show again.
I need to maybe voice note AJ and just be like, congratulations, that was fucking brilliant. Because I loved her little quips and ad libs.
Oh, she's brilliant.
Ekin Su would say something. AJ was like, you haven't seen it yet. I was like, oh, brilliant. Go back and watch it. Listen to AJ in the background. You haven't seen it yet. I love it.
She's brilliant.
Also, you know what I love about the eviction shows when it's a live show? As the titles roll, as they go to a break, the last second before the break start, you can hear AJ laugh. I love it. Love it so much.
What are your predictions then for the week ahead? We're going into the final week. Are you expecting some surprise nominations, some surprise evictions? Do we think we're going to see someone in a coffin have the door shut on them again?
I do. Well, definitely going to have a surprise eviction, maybe on Wednesday or Thursday. I think there's going to be an eviction on Tuesday. Probably be a double again.
Yeah.
I do want another task. I hope they're doing like a shopping task.
On that, have you seen all the out-of-home advertising for Big Brother for the eviction on Friday? A lot of posters, digital posters around saying, fancy a double eviction on Big Brother. I've seen Big Brother everywhere on posters and screens all around
Manchester. Well, you're in Manchester, aren't you? Yeah, big city. I'm in Wolves. There's nothing.
Wow.
Might have a trip down Birmingham and see what's going on.
Look out for the billboard. There's a double eviction on Tuesday. Go to Birmingham. Who are you hoping for the win? Do you still think it'll be an all four final between Akita, Coulson, David and Bradley?
Yes, but I would really like to see ZZ there. I think ZZ's been an incredible housemate. I did tweet this last night. I think ZZ really sold herself short. In her VT going in, she was like, people know me for being argumentative, this, that, the other. I was like, yeah, people know you for that. But you are really a warm character. Mm. Like, I've really drawn to her. And I think she's an incredible listener. She's really good conversationalist. And she said it last night.
She's part of the community.
Bring her on Gadio. Get her on.
I'd hate to do something wrong in front of her that I immediately regret, because I feel like she would call me out. I love it though. I do love it. She's really sweet.
I'd love to be called out by them, because she's probably going to be right and I'll learn something.
Sadist.
No, I do hope we get ZZ on the pod. I really do, because I think she'd be a wonderful person to talk to.
Brill. Well, we've got another episode tonight and we're going to recover it. Recover it? We've got another episode tonight and we're going to cover it all in our daily drop tomorrow. It drops at around 4 p.m. You going to join me?
Can't wait. Of course I will.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris. A Gaydio original podcast.
And then there was 5 episodes left.
God. You know what I've done today? I've watched football.
Yeah, I saw that on your Instagram story.
I know. Look.
You watch it normally, or is it just because it was on?
Sometimes I do. I mean, I'm from Wolverhampton. I do like to support the boys. And because it was on ITV, I was like, oh, okay. Let's watch it. It was like FA Cup, which is like one of the cups.
I tell you when I got and most excited about football.
Go on.
Women's World Cup.
Euros.
My heart was in me bloody gob. I can't cope with it. I get so nervous when it comes to penalties and things right. like that. It just stresses me
out. This is what happened to me like when I was watching it. It was like, oh, there's 1-0 down, then 1-1, then 2-1. I was like, oh, we've won this. Bloody beat them. I hate it. I can't do it.
It's stressful. Never watching the worst thing again. Is in Manchester. So obviously, our next door neighbour, I'm pretty convinced, it works at Man U because he comes in with like a Man U like uniform. So I think he's like a groundskeeper or something like that. Every time Man U score, you hear a yes. But I'm trying to figure out his name because I know his wife is called Steph. So me and Charlotte call him Steph and Dom because they're Gogglebox. So I'm trying to work out what Dom's name is.
Why don't you just look on the, electrical roll? Isn't it 192.com or something like that?
I feel like that's a bit invasive, isn't it?
You want to know his name?
Well, it's just
get him on LinkedIn.
Get him on LinkedIn. I'm looking for a ground serviceman at Man United. Oh dear.
You know what? We haven't covered Drag Race.
Well, it was a good act.
It was all right.
See you next week.
There we are.